Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
15.
14.
13.
12.
11.
10.
9.
8. 7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Indeed, while you're listening to this, someone somewhere else is sitting in front of the radio, pen poised, ready to take dictation. And yet someone else is sitting in front of the dial looking for numbers. What an interesting evening. Maybe today is the day for your Spanish group.
Grupo 170. Grupo 170.
Or maybe you're straining in front of the wireless, trying to hear some numbers read by a woman accompanied by a vacuum cleaner. Yes, if you tune between the shortwave broadcast bands using an ordinary wireless, it won't take you long to bump into strange stations sending groups of numbers or letters in Spanish, English, Russian, even German. Over the decades, various theories have been put forward as to their purpose, including weather forecasts, shipping information, industrial data, even secret projects communicating with UFOs. More recently, it's become clear what the transmissions are really for. They're messages from intelligence organisations throughout the world to their agents in the field. This has been confirmed by dedicated monitors who've tracked down the transmission sites, and also by former agents who've described how their masters communicated orders to them. Simon Mason is a listener in the north of Britain, and while some people listen to news and information from abroad, Simon listens to numbers. We last spoke to him on the programme 2 years ago, when we assumed that with the reduction in East-West tension and more peaceful signs in the Middle East, the intelligence communities would no longer need so many of these stations. But Simon says a surprising number is still around.
Yes, there's still many stations around. Some have scaled down their operation and some have appeared from nowhere and some have adjusted to different circumstances. For instance, the Czech station OLX, before the Czech and the Slovak Republic split up, it was not using a call sign. Now it uses an old Czech press agency call sign of OLX, and it's on 24 hours a day now, apart from 23 hours for some reason. It's not on at 23 hours.
That station is very unusual.
The most surprising thing is it actually QSLs. It sends a QSL folder out with a nice little picture of Prague on the front cover with even all the frequencies that are in use on the inside.
Some of them being, what, 3280, I notice?
That's
4601?
Yeah. There are five in use during the 24 hours a day. It's, like you said, 3280, 5301, 6758, 8142, and 11002. Those are the main ones.
And the address to get a confirmation turns out to be this one. The Minister of the Interior, P.O. Box 21/SK, postal code 17034, Prague 7 in the Czech Republic. They're obviously so confident of the security of the one-time pad system they're using that they're willing to confirm listener reception reports. But that is the exception rather than the rule. It's also easy to jump to conclusions in this business. Just because you hear someone shouting numbers in the English language doesn't mean to say that the transmitter is in the UK. However, one of the British stations has such an English accent that other countries would have a hard time trying to imitate it. The station is one of those most active and well-known in spy number listening circles.
The most common English ones on the air, the Lincolnshire Portrait Station and the CIA counting stations, supposedly CIA counting stations, and there's a Russian man that uses English as well. So those are the three main English ones, apart from the phonetic alphabet stations, which it's not easy to determine which language they're using, since the phonetic alphabet's used by everybody, which they're supposedly Mossad stations, stations like Uniform, Lima X-ray, and stations like that.
As far as the Lincolnshire Poacher is concerned, that gets its name because of the identification tune it plays.
That's right. It plays the Lincolnshire Poacher tune for 10 minutes preceding the broadcast.
The Lincolnshire Poacher is active daily between 10 and 22 hours UTC. From 10 to 14 hours, look for her on 14487 or 15682 kHz. And from 15 to 17 hours UTC, on 11545 or 13375 kHz. And in the evening here in Europe, from 18 to 22 hours, she's usually around on 9251 or 6959 kHz. All the frequencies are heavily jammed. Rough direction finding indicates this station originates from a British base in Cyprus, and the jamming is similar to that used by Iran and Iraq to jam unwanted Western broadcasts. Is the Lincolnshire Poacher then designed to serve British agents in the Middle East?
That's still the theory, yes. I've tried to QSL the supposed base at Cyprus, but obviously I didn't get any joy there, unlike the Czech station. But that is 99% certain. An interesting variation is that a second Lincolnshire Poacher station started up last spring of 94. It ended around May 94, and that was audible between 10 and 12 hours UTC on 18, 19 and 20 megahertz frequencies, and between 19 and 21 hours on 7, 8 and 9 megahertz frequencies. Obviously there's no point in giving those frequencies out now because they're not active anymore.
No one's sure exactly what that tune really is. It could be Cherry Ripe, a traditional song rearranged by Frank Bridge in 1916. The title fits the work involved too, although Frank Bridge was an ardent pacifist. But again, it's purely a romantic speculation. But what about the CIA?
Well, quite a common station on the air is a station that counts from 1 to 0 with a three-figure number for 10 minutes. Then it sends out 10 long dashes and says count 225, count 225, then sends out five-figure groups. Those are widely heard. They've been heard for many, many years. There's also a German equivalent of that as well. That woman has a distinct American accent.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, 3, 8, 6. You can hear those stations counting away during the day, let's say between 14 and 16 hours, on channels around 12 and 16 megahertz. What about other languages, like German? You won't hear her anymore. That was a number station historical clip. Not long after the Berlin Wall came down, that woman and her gong disappeared, at last, from the airwaves. It was a Stasi transmitter, run by East German intelligence, from a centre not far outside Berlin. I've heard a similar gong used in a German supermarket recently, but we digress. There are still German numbers being used on the wireless to this day.
X-ray, Lima.
Mind you, some of the stations have such distorted modulation it's sometimes difficult to understand the numbers. You can imagine Agent Schmidt wondering whether he has to blow up the bridge or go to the dinner party. Depends on that number that he didn't hear. Monitoring shows that many of the number sequences are repeated, though, at other times during the same day. If you think that part of the deal involves listening to sexy voices encouraging you to fight for your country, then you'll be sorely disappointed. Would you really like to meet this lady? I'm sure she was the Iron Lady from the KGB in that film From Russia with Love.
No, obviously the old East German stations have disappeared, but stations like Papa November, DFC 37, DFD 21, they've gone as well, but the other two-letter stations are active. The two-letter stations, for example, are stations like Whiskey Lima and Juliet Whiskey and Kilo Whiskey. They still broadcast every day. They're still part of the same outfit that used Papa November and the other two. The surprising thing is that three English versions of these have turned up in the past few weeks. For instance, there's a station signing on as Bravo November in English, and that's on every Sunday at 0530 on 11617. Also, there's a Delta Alpha turned up on Tuesdays at 0930 on 11545. And a Victor India has been spotted on Mondays at 1300 on 16220, and that repeats on Tuesday on 15610 at 1330. So it's an unprecedented number of English stations from this outfit. But perhaps the easiest one of the German ones to hear is Kilo Whiskey, which is on every day at 0530, 0930 and 1430. And for example, the 1430 broadcast is always on 16414, and the 0531 has been spotted on 12314. So that's perhaps the easiest one to hear of those.
And the announcers all sound very excited about their work. That's presumed to be part of the German BND intelligence organisation. But how does Simon find all these spy number schedules? Unlike broadcast stations, these stations don't want listeners, except, of course, the specific ones they're aiming at.
The German stations that I've just mentioned, the two-letter stations, they use a fixed number of frequencies, the same frequencies all the time. For instance, they use perhaps about 40 or 50 different frequencies, I don't know exactly. So all you have to do is to put those 50 frequencies into a memory of a receiver, and they help you by signing on the hour or on the half hour, and just scan through all those 50 frequencies on the hour, and hear a station and log it down on the day and the time it is, and that's quite an easy way to construct a schedule for these.
Some people are still sceptical about the number stations. If life and death really depends on what these stations are saying to agents in foreign countries, why is shortwave radio used to transmit these messages in today's high-tech world of satellites and digital communication? The answer is that the system is pretty simple. It's robust. Most of the coding systems used are impossible to break, and you can't track who's listening, unless they happen to be in the same room. Security services, mind you, have developed sophisticated methods to tap the contents of telephone calls and fax machines. But the radio system is ingeniously simple.
Number 1, 2, 3, 4.
Perhaps because of the slight unease as to the purpose of these stations, people have been reluctant to speak about them in the past. However, today there are books, some magazines, and even numbers monitoring groups, such as the British-based organisation called Enigma. The name Enigma has its origins in the cracking of the German military codes by the British during the Second World War. Now a group of listeners says it stands for European Numbers Information Gathering and Monitoring Association. Who's behind it?
Well, Enigma is the idea of a colleague of mine, Chris Midgley, and his idea was a good one, that numbers monitors working on their own can't possibly listen to every single frequency all the time, you know, 24 hours a day. So it was an idea to pool everyone's resources and to publish the outcome and the schedules in a quarterly newsletter.
The Enigma newsletter is a non-profit venture, and the latest issue, number 7, is out this month. If you're interested, send return postage or two international reply coupons to this address: Enigma, Bradford Resource Centre, 31 Manor Row, Bradford, West Yorkshire, BD14PS in the UK. That address again, Enigma, Bradford Resource Centre, 31 Manor Row, Bradford, West Yorkshire, BD14PS in the United Kingdom. Enigma is also active electronically these days. A chap called Mike Chase is open for correspondence on details of stations that you've heard. His electronic mail address is mikec@praxis.co.uk. There's also a World Wide Web page on internet with details about number stations. You can reach it at this huge URL address, http://itre.unccs.edu/radio/numbers.html. I can recommend that page as having some very useful background details for beginners in the number station business. Back to the bands. Does the group of around 150 enthusiasts do any direction finding?
There are some people who contribute to Enigma who have direction finding equipment, but obviously very crude authorities that use the effing on the HF use very expensive equipment that we can't hope to have. But very rough fixes are possible, but I've constructed some myself and they're very, very unreliable.
So are the members secret too? I mean, do they keep themselves to themselves? Because it's not everybody that wants to listen to these stations, of course.
Well, quite a lot of them, the members are out in the open, as it were. Some of them prefer to remain anonymous. Perhaps they're working for government organisations and want to contribute as a hobby, but don't particularly want the employees to know that what they're doing.
But the other aspect is that you may be able to identify them in terms of the ID signal they put out. In other words, Mary Susan Adam is another station that's on the air, but you can never decipher the actual code, can you?
No, that's not possible at all. If the current theory is that you're using a one-time pad method of encoding, which means that a random number is added to the message, and which is only used only once, and it's practically impossible for anyone without the one-time pad to be able to decipher any messages.
I guess that they are using a computer to generate the voice. There's nobody sitting there live reading these numbers.
Well, there's still one or two that are live, actually. Very, very few. A lot of them, for instance, the German Papa November station, did used to have about four or five different females reading out the messages live into a tape, but they were replaced by the computer voice around 1989. They were one of the last ones to go over to the computer voice system.
And of the stations on the air, which do you think is the most interesting?
You mentioned before Mary Susan Adam. That's just started up in the last year.
But it is peculiar. Back in 1948, the American Radio Relay League, looking after the interests of US radio amateurs, published its standard phonetic alphabet. If you were spelling a word on the air, radio amateurs were encouraged to say A for Adam, B for Baker, C for Charlie, and so on. Later this was changed to the more international and familiar Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta phonetic alphabet, which many operators still use today. Simon says the Nancy Adam Susan group of stations still uses the old 1948 alphabet.
You can hear one every day at 20 hours UTC on 5530. That signs on with Nancy Adam Susan, which is the call sign of the station. And there's also another one at 2100 on 4130 called Mary Susan Adam. And there's a third one at 14 hours UTC, which is on 14 megahertz, 14,000 kilohertz, just on the edge of the 20-metre amateur band. That's called Frank Young Peter.
The call sign is repeated for 2 minutes. If a message is to follow, the woman says, Queen Promise Charlie, followed by a phonetic-coded message. If there are no messages that day, she says, Queen Robert Union. Now, 15 years ago, a lot of these stations signed on with musical melodies. An old favourite that's still around, Jest, plays the Swedish Rhapsody.
where the Swedish Rhapsody has scaled down its activity somewhat since 3 or 4 years ago, but it's still active. For example, the second Saturday of the month, at 21 hours UTC, you can hear that on 4779. Previously, it used to be on three different frequencies, now it's just on that single one. That message is repeated an hour later at 22 hours on 5340. There are other schedules, times and frequencies, but it's quite a complex schedule now. It's sort of like every second Saturday of the month, every third Monday of the month, for example. It's quite complex now.
Any theories as to where that is then? Is it because it's the Swedish Rhapsody? Is it coming from Stockholm?
Very unlikely. We have heard from one of our contributors that it's coming from Poland.
Are there any on Morse code?
Yes, there are many, many stations on Morse code. In the last edition of Enigma, there was a Morse station supplement that featured about 20 different types of Morse stations. Many of them have a voice counterpart as well.
So what's the fascination of listening to messages you can't understand?
You're pitting your wits against the intelligence community and the trying to find out the schedules of different types of stations, where they come from, what sort of languages they are. If they were all out in the open and everyone knew what they were and the call signs were in books and everyone knew the languages and the purpose, it wouldn't be interesting.
Simon Mason of Enigma on the line from the UK. Now over to Jim for our last couple of five-figure groups.
Thank you, Jonathan. And now for our agents in the field, attention. 3-1-3-5-7-2-4-2-2-2. End.
Well, crack that code. That's all for now. Keep listening and count the days until the next edition of Media Network.
I've been doing some listening between 3 and 30 megawatts. Some people get static. Some people get far-off countries. I just get a headache.
Serving the universe from Flevo, Radio Netherlands, with relays in Russia, Bonaire, and Madagascar. Any questions?
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.